Today's guest in the second hour is I Draw Slow, David and Louise Holden. I met up with David and Louise right after I Draw Slow had left a stage performance at Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival. Hadn't talked to them in a while, and I'm always happy to talk to one of my favorite bands, and certainly one of my favorite bands from Ireland, Dublin, Ireland's I Draw Slow. You're going to enjoy a visit with David and Louise Holden in the second hour of Unreal Bluegrass. Really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass two members of one of my favorite bands. I absolutely love I Draw Slow. We're back here at Grey Fox where I first saw you. I think it was 2013.
Yep. That was the first time we came here.
It's the first time. Okay, yep. So it's Louise Holden and Dave Holden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the, and I will tell you this too. When I saw you that year, it was 100 degrees.
Yes.
And it got close to that today. And I appreciate your time because you just finished your second set of the day. I know it's difficult to gather around. So what I want to do, Louise, when you were on the show, and I want to thank you again on the air because Skype wasn't working on my end. It wasn't your end. You were ready to go. We were going to Skype because you were in the house. I heard your children. And you actually walked outside and called me on your phone, which I thought must have been a horrendous phone bill.
Actually, it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't so bad. No, yeah. I kept thinking, I got to wrap this up. So I appreciate that so much that you're willing to do it. But now you're here and I can chat with you. If it was February 2017, some things have happened, one of which is, and I have the new album. I don't have a lot of detail about it for today, but I know the latest album, I recall, came out. Tell me a little bit, either one of you, about when that came out and name of it and how people can get it. And I'm going to break it down just a little bit.
Are you talking about Turn Your Face to the Sun?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that goes actually. It doesn't feel new to us because we brought it out.
Doesn't,
yeah, but yeah, I know from
February 2017.
In terms of the chronology of our relationship with Unreal Bluegrass,
right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, we brought it out. We did a pledge campaign and we pre-sold a bunch of the albums and then that gave us the finances to put the thing together.
Is that the first time you've done that?
It is, and
the
last.
Probably the last.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they've gone bust now, pledge music, certainly, with a lot of people who had pledge campaigns.
Well,
they took the money with them.
To the money that's there.
It all disappeared.
Mm.
We got in and out.
We were one of the last, but it was a lot of hassle. I don't know if we'd do it again.
Yeah. Although I suppose it was pre-publicity for the album, and the album went well, and it got to number one in Ireland.
And that's the key. It's like you build in the publicity. Of course, if the company goes away and you lose the money, it's not a good deal. But you do have all this publicity. If people see
you do.
The fact that you're taking pledges.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So you got that out. Now you're back. You're touring. You're at Grey Fox now. This is July of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go from here?
We're here another day, but we're not playing. And then on Monday, we fly out west to Seattle. And we have a run around the Pacific Northwest, going and then playing a load of places around the Pacific Northwest and around Oregon and Washington. And we're in Gorge Grass, I think it's the festival we're playing in Washington State. And then after we finish that, our last gig is in Portland, Oregon, and then we fly down to Denver, Colorado, and then we have a run there of about.
This is incredible, by the way, that you know all these cities. I'm just, mm-hmm. This is. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
That you've got all these spots. You're just doing this off the cuff. You don't have anything in writing for people.
No. We've actually done this run quite a lot, especially in the Pacific Northwest. We've been going there a bit recently, and we love it there, and they seem to react well to it. And we go down to Colorado a good bit. And it's so beautiful down there. It's amazing. So we're down there. For about a week,
mm-hmm.
and then we're hanging on. Our families are coming over, and we're hanging on for another week, and then we're flying down to Austin, Texas, to see my brother. He lives down there, so a long trip.
Yeah.
If there had to be a home base for I Draw Slow, where's the location? What's the locale now of the band?
Dublin.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I just wanted to make sure you guys did. So when you come here now and you're on this tour, mm-hmm. then you go back to Ireland at the end of it. I mean, it's being family or whatnot, but that's the goal, is that you go back to there and you're very immensely popular in Ireland. I know that.
Yeah.
And I think you're very popular here too. You may not know it, but people love the fact that you combine. There's Irish elements, and Louise, we talked about this before.
desirable, but it's a modern. It's not. Nothing wrong with old Irish music at all. I love it, but your sound is not just derivative of the older Irish sound. You have newer sounds added into the same instruments, but your sound is totally different to me. Beautiful singing. I know you sing Above Her, which was something I had to ask her. You're shaking your head as you're eating a nut, so I'll let you do
it. Sorry, I'm hungry.
That's okay. No.
Yeah, no, sometimes I do. We've actually switched it around a bit. I used to always sing Above Her, and now we're kind of going below a bit. Yeah, we don't really... our voices are quite similar in a way in terms of the range, the kind of mid-range, and the timbre sometimes. So we tend to just do whatever works for whatever song it is, you know?
You have this rhythmic thing with the stomping of the feet. And I talked about that a little bit with you, Louise, when we talked back in 2017. But and you told me then that's not an accidental thing. Or maybe it's just a product of how you feel about doing the songs and the fact that rhythm comes out. But you don't have necessarily a percussion. You don't have a percussionist necessarily.
Yeah, so we have to build the percussion in the band fairly organically. Now, we're lucky because Conrad, our upright bass player, is a very percussive player.
Yeah.
So he's holding us together. He's the backbone. We try to hold. We help him out with keep boots to the floor.
So I've noticed that when you back away from the microphone, talking to you, Louise, I know that you're going to come forward and there's going to be some. I didn't think that the stage earlier today picked up really the stomping very well, because I had told friends I didn't hear it as much as like I did on this other stage. What they do is the nighttime stage. I knew you were doing it because I know that's how you do it and how you accomplish that percussion.
Yeah.
And I had a friend say, listen, you're going to, and I couldn't hear it as well, but you still do that. That's part of the show, and it's
yeah, well, I had a problem with my hip last year, and my mother told me to stop stomping, so I said, I'm going to lay off for a little while, and then when it dies down, I'll start doing it again.
So you're not stomping as much. You have to move your feet to the rhythm.
I have to move my feet. Well, I don't have an instrument, so I look a bit of a wally if I just stand there.
Tell me then the members of the band you're with right now. I don't want to leave them out.
Yeah.
No, Colin Derham plays the banjo, and Conrad Lee there plays the upright bass, and then Adrian Hart plays the fiddle.
I missed, you did a, what they call a workshop with We Banjo 3?
Actually, it was Adrian and Colin did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
They do a lot of sessions together, the two of them, and they collect old-time music and play it in Dublin, and there's a little bit of an old-time scene in Dublin that they would regularly contribute to and build into.
But don't you do a vocal on one of We Banjo's 3?
On one of their albums from a couple of years back.
Yeah, I remember that. And I got to know them really well. I've seen them two or three times. They came through Cincinnati. That's my first song.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing your name on there, that's what it must be. So what's the community like in Dublin as far as bands who might play Irish bluegrass type music, or at least would appeal to a bluegrass festival? Is it everybody sort of, you know, each other? I mean, like when you're on We Banjo 3, everybody kind of knows each other more or less?
Yeah, the scene is bigger, but it's still, Ireland is a very small scene. So, I mean, having said that,
we've still got a scene here, isn't it?
Since we've been over here, we know pretty much everybody. The last 7 years we've been coming over, and you kind of know everybody after.
Yeah.
Because we were more kind of, when we started off, kind of interested in the old time scene. And so we got very interested in bands like, before we knew them, bands like Foghorn Spring Band and Dirk Powell and people like that.
Yeah.
And we ended up knowing them within about 3 weeks of getting into the music.
Yeah, they're like these famous people in the next thing. They're like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Because everybody, all the old-time community, they always want to come to Ireland because that's where the kind of roots of the stuff is.
Yeah.
So you end up getting to know them very well, so they came back. And since we've been over here with the kind of bluegrass scene, because we don't really think that we play bluegrass, really.
And you don't, and you're not trying to, but most people that listen to bluegrass know of the derivative nature of bluegrass versus Ireland.
Yeah,
We know that.
Yeah. And it's a lovely community. So every time we come over and play the festival, it tends to be the same. So you'd always meet, like, Tim O'Brien and Billy Strings.
Tim goes to Ireland like every other week.
He's traveling back and forth.
And
absolutely.
And he's O'Brien, so he really enjoys it.
So you meet those people a lot over. So, I mean, it is. It's a lovely community. And Yeah, it feels nice. I mean, and obviously in Ireland it's a very small community, so everybody knows each other, especially in the folk kind of scene.
So you're going to go back after you finish this tour that you described?
Yeah, in about a month. Yeah.
And you perform, I suppose, everywhere in Dublin that they will have you.
Yeah, well, the situation, we do have a following in Ireland, but I mean, if somebody's really into the band, they might come out and see us twice a year. It wouldn't be more often than that, you know what I mean? So there's a limited amount of touring we can do in Ireland, really, that would be worth bringing everybody around.
Well, let's say not a tour, but in Dublin itself, which we know is small and the community is small. Mm-hmm. Will people find you playing in Dublin?
Oh yeah, we do play, but we'd probably play about three or four times a year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
When you go back, you told me about the avoided disaster with the pledge. what is your plan then for the next album? If you have a plan or a thought, what's your idea?
We've been writing a lot of songs lately without a specific plan. And that's not deliberate or anything. We've just been writing a lot of songs. Next year is kind of looking quite busy in the early part of the year anyway, just touring. We're over here a few times. And a bit of stuff in Europe and stuff. So that's the problem sometimes with touring, is that when you do tour,
it takes away from.
It's very, very difficult to.
It's hard to write.
It's hard to get everyone together because people don't want, you know, they've been away.
It's hard to get people in the studio and stuff, you know.
That would be the biggest thing, find a place to sit down and do it. I know a lot of people write on the road, you probably do too, but you just played a song, did you not? That was new.
We're writing a lot of new songs, and we keep doing them, and we grow them together quite quickly. Myself and Louise still meet up. I mean, we meet up lots, obviously, because we live in the same area, my brother and sister, but we'd probably still meet up at least once a week to write songs.
Yeah,
we always have, just because, I don't know, it's just what we do. We enjoy doing it. We like the craft, and, you know, we were keen earlier on this year we were sort of interested in writing country, like straight country songs.
Well, you said that a couple of times here on the, I heard you do it here and up on the upper thing, too.
Yeah. It's proper kind of George Jones, Chris Christopher.
Tell me the name of it again, because I didn't want to get the first line. The catch is...
I don't drink in your bedroom, don't kiss in my bar.
That's pretty country. That's
very country. We wanted to kind of do that sort of stuff, because the band we doesn't play country music per se, but we've always been kind of into that very kind of straight ahead country. So just as a kind of an exercise in songwriting, but we're enjoying it, so we kind of bring it in and out of the set here and there, you know. But we'd always meet up to write songs. Like, it's really kind of rarely that we wouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good distance. Because we often say that songwriting is very like a muscle, and if you don't do it, you get bad at it, you know?
Yeah, exactly what I was going to ask. Not in those words, but that's what I think. You keep doing it, and you keep producing. I Draw Slow has been around for how long?
About 12 years.
Really?
Properly, I'd say about 10 or maybe a little less, because we in the kind of format where we kind of knew what we were doing, we were sort of messing around a little before. But like, we have an album over here that is 10 years old, that's the very first album we did, Downside.
What's the name? I know I've got it. What is
Downside?
It?
Downside. And we you know, cause we brought it out because it's not on any label over here.
Okay.
So we decided we'd bring it out and bring it on tour with us, because people are always asking. And we still play some of the songs off it. I'm rambling and I forgot what I was talking about.
I kind of interrupted you, but I get what you're saying, that the process fine-tunes what you're doing and probably helps you think about the fact that you're going to be getting together soon to write, so maybe you...
Yeah, so I was thinking about it.
And you said you like to try to record bits of shows. Is that because some of the things are new, or that you want to use them for...
No, this is a new thing. Obviously, I thought what I might try and do for this tour, we've been threatening for ages to do a podcast, because we always have a lot of crack on the tours, and we go to weird places, and we meet great people. We also, because, you know, when you're touring in the States, you know, you might be going to a festival one weekend and then another festival the following weekend, and then you string it all together with these little gigs, house concerts or little local venues, art centres, and you meet people. It's peculiar to this country, I don't know, where, because many of the towns are all quite spread out, and people, you know, maybe all they have is like a Walmart and a Starbucks, and they really want to nail down their own local culture, and they do it through festivals and gigs and bringing bands in, and people are really committed, you know what I mean? And they often have very interesting stories around how their venues came to be and the fundraising, and we just want to try and sort of start capturing some of that stuff,
yeah.
Because I'm not sure that in Ireland people really know about it. It's not the side of America that we're necessarily shown in Europe, you know, the grassroots.
Yeah.
You know, so we just thought it would be nice to do that. So what I've been doing is I've got a little mic somewhat like this, and I've just been trying to pick up bits and pieces of stuff, a little bit the gigs to throw in there.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the part of it actually, because of the kind of parts of America that we see.
Yeah.
Like Europe sees a very kind of
New York, LA.
Yeah. But not just that; it's all, you know, Trump and politics and you know all the kind of stuff. Yeah, but whatever way, I'm not making a comment either way. But what I mean is like there's so much more.
That's not what we see.
To the it's a bit like no. There's loads more to it, and there's loads more. And like for instance, stuff like this. There's so many kind of community-based things that people. We come over here, and a lot of people have a very unusual attitude about Ireland. They still think we have pigs in the kitchen and no electricity and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, no. 2017, we got electricity. Okay.
People offering us packets of Marlboro, going, "Hey, you can't get these at home, right?" Well, A, I don't smoke, and B, we haven't got them.
Yeah. No, you'd be surprised the things people have said to us about Ireland. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it goes both ways. Like,
it does.
Have weird ideas.
And people say that about like for instance, we tour for good, but in the south, and people are always like, "Oh, it's like this, it's like," and I said, "Well, actually, it's not really. I mean, some of it is, but." A lot of it isn't.
It's communities and it's people, you know, and also lots of little projects around, for example, lots of environmental projects happening at a local level, people who are really passionate about cooking and what they grow locally and what their own dishes in their areas, and just really interesting human stuff, you know what I mean?
I think what you were saying earlier is it's all closer together than what we would envision, because we're used to driving 300 miles to the next town, and what you're doing along the way, as you mentioned, is... picking up some of those things in between but in Ireland you don't go 300 miles.
No, you don't. I mean, you're covered
in the Atlantic. So I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it goes out. We're just recording a lot of stuff along the way to see, because we're all kind of podcast enthusiasts. You know, we listen to it. Personally, I'd like to listen to something like this. I think it's kind of interesting. And we weren't necessarily. It is obviously about the band because we're going, but it's more of just a kind of. You know, a human interest kind of thing. That was the idea. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about I Go Slow, and I Go Slow fans might be interested in that way, but a lot of us just want to go around and talk to people and stuff that's going on and our views on things that we see as we go along, you know what I mean? So,
I like the idea. Hope it works.
Yeah.
You haven't started yet, you're just building.
Just building at the moment, just a little bit of editing on the road, which keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah, it's also a focus, so you're not just getting to
drinking the whole time.
You must have a website easy to find, probably.
IGoSlow.com.
That'll tell people where you're going to be and maybe some of the music that's available.
I mean, we hope to record next year. Concrete as I can say. We'd like to put an album out every 2 years, and obviously we'll already be past that maybe, but it's hard to, you know, because the albums are on a couple of different labels, so sometimes they're even kind of like and you need a new album to tour, you know, it's kind of important, but that doesn't seem like a good reason to put out a new album either, you know, like you gotta have songs or be, you know,
if you don't want to do something you're not really ready to do artistically, just so you can have it to tour.
Like we put a lot of energy into our last album, and you know, personally, I think the last album is a lot better than the albums we did before. And we would aim to go higher than that on the next one, you know.
So glad you guys are here.
Glad to be here.
Third time I've seen you, then. Is it kind of like an every other year deal?
Great Box.
Sort of kind of, Great Box.
Well, I mean, we'd be here every year. I love this festival. Absolutely love it. I keep forgetting when I'm here. It's just the people here are very laid back, and it's not to take away from other festivals, but it's just everybody. There's a very, very relaxed.
I think it's from the top down. I think the people who organize it, who I know pretty well now, that's their attitude, and it permeates everywhere down.
Yeah.
And the attitude overall is, this is going to work. We're going to make it work. And there's not a lot of fiery meetings. It's like it's a collaborative thing. The people who run it, my impression, they've never told me this, but I see the results of issues being resolved. They're very much into, let's work this out. and then the issue's gone. That's how I think it works.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense.
It
makes sense, absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely feels it's true.
It works. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it, Dave. Louise.
Thanks. I am
a big fan of iDrawSlow. I keep saying it, but the first year, 2013 was the first year I was here, and I saw you then, and I did not know anything about the band, and I drove home telling, and I got home, everybody, you have to hear iDrawSlow. You have to hear it, and I still feel the same way.
Thank you.
You guys do what you do so well.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll keep doing it if you keep doing it.
Okay. Thank you so much.